Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter, and joining us today is Dave Watham, CEO of TriMas Corporation. Also with us today is Sherry Lauterbach, head of IR. The company trades on the New York Stock Exchange. The ticker symbol is TRS. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Juan.
Start off by talking about the monogram, that division and the new titanium screws for the large commercial aircrafts.
Okay, you may have just seen a recent press release. That's a good example of the kind of things we try to do with new products. It's a business we focus resources on. We like the market space it's in. We like that they're very good at what they do. They really only do fasteners for aircraft. Fasteners for aircraft are complex and difficult materials and difficult kind of approval processes. And again, that's the kind of thing we like across all 10 businesses. And again, it's a good example. We do a lot of rivets and fasteners for how aircraft are assembled. We certainly sell to Boeing and Airbus. They're the two biggest customers. Also military and business jet kind of applications. We wanted to expand and so have added titanium screws and collars and connectors that just branch out what we can do in other kinds of fasteners on aircraft. The reason it makes sense now is that there's more composites showing up in aircraft. It's difficult to attach metals and composites and all the temperature cycles and different material issues that go on. And again, that's our thing, is solving those kinds of problems for the right customers. And the perfect example of it. And we've been at it for a while. We just got through the approval processes, and now we're shipping product. And that's why you saw a press release.
Great. And perhaps you can bring us up to speed on the company's other products and services, some of the new developments.
Okay. Well, the common theme for TriMas is that we serve industrial and commercial customers with what we think of as technical and applied products. We report in five different segments, but let me take a different cut on that. We actually run 10 business units. I have 10 division presidents reporting to me, and they each operate under their own brand name. We really don't sell as TriMas. We tend to have pretty strong brand names. I'll just run through some of the significant ones. In packaging, our strong brand name is Riki. That's a business that makes about anything you can imagine for pumping and spraying and holding and controlling the flow out of a container. We don't make containers, and we don't make commodity kinds of sprayers. I mean, the common theme is we're specialized, whether the application be pharmaceutical or cosmetics or industrial kind of products that need a special closure for a barrel or a drum. That's a global business, big operations in Europe, lots of operations in the U.S. and Mexico and such. And it's a lot of new product action in that business, like you would expect. We think about where we're going to spend our money. You know, nobody's ever got enough money and enough people, and so we think about where we're going to spend them. This is one we definitely focus on. I guess a side comment I'd make in that business, we've been particularly successful in that business recently with buying a whole set of equipment from a bankruptcy of a competitor, banks of molding machines and molds and that sort of thing. And, of course, those customers still need the product. The end customer still needs the product. And so we've been ramping up as fast as we can with all that. And I've actually been adding some more capital to it and some more jobs in that area. We have a pretty good-sized business that makes components that are eventually used in trailers and towing. And if you have a boat trailer and it has a jack on it and brakes and controllers for the brakes on your vehicle and you have a tow bar on the vehicle and all that sort of thing, we make all that kind of thing. Big brand names like Reese and Drawtite and Bulldog and all those. We sell everywhere, whether it be an installer or even at Walmart or Tractor Supply. We try to be the big full-line provider of those products. That is also a business we've got a fairly big-time restructuring going on. We're consolidating. We already consolidated three divisions into one. And, of course, there's a whole lot of work in the detail of making that work. Out of that comes a lot of SKU reduction. It comes combining different business systems together, combining scheduling systems. And so far, so good. I mean, if you've seen in our announcements, we've had some pretty large cost reduction programs underway, like everybody in this recession. A lot of that has been focused in that business. We decided that set of businesses was going to have an off year. The only question was how far off. So we downsized a lot. And, again, halfway into the year now, so far so good. We probably picked the right kind of bottom for that business and reasonably happy with how it's running now. The team is doing a great job in this kind of a restructuring. We have a set of energy-related businesses. Lehman's is one, and if you happen to be a refinery manager or run a chemical plant, you'd know Lehman's. We're in the business of providing fasteners and gaskets and seals and all that sort of thing, mostly used when somebody's doing a rebuild or a change out. And, I mean, these aren't gaskets that would fit in your pocket. I saw one the last time I was in one of the big operations that barely fit on the back of a semi. But they're used when, again, in a rebuild. That business has been pretty tough during this recession, although you all see that people like Dow and Exxon are kind of bringing plants back online. That's good for us. That's a business, though, that the model is be close to the customer and be fast. And because it tends to be fast cycle turnaround business, you would see an announcement. We opened a new facility in Rotterdam. That's about all that North Sea stuff and all the facilities around there. We need to be, call it, 50 or 75 miles from our customers to do the fast turnaround stuff. And the facilities we manufacture some in our own facilities, in our big facilities, but we have our satellite or company stores that are close to the end user. They have CNC cutters and fastening machines and all that so that they can do fast turnaround in the location. The other energy business we've got is Aero. If you were in the oil and gas wellhead, you know, at the well, you'd know Aero. The core product are big single-cylinder engines that drive pump jacks. That's a pretty narrow focus market, but they're certainly needed, and we are well-known and good at it, have been for years. We've been on a big push recently, though, to add product. We did a small acquisition last year to add the capability of having certified welders and X-ray technicians and that sort of thing, because everything at a wellhead has to be safe. And there's specs and processes that have to be followed. But my test question for that business is always, okay, if we walk to a gas or an oil wellhead and all the equipment you see there, all the transmitters, all the metering devices and reducers and all that, how much of it can we make? And we're on the path of continuing to add to what we make. That's also, in those energy businesses, we're also starting to experiment a little bit with some service kinds of things. And then we have a business. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing. I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, we basically, you know, do want to cover some of the market trends, but I believe that you're kind of, you know, already kind of, while you're giving us your answer, speaking about how well positioned the company is to capitalize on the different, you know, emerging trends in the broad markets that you cover.
Well, good. We think a lot about. In a recession, everybody cuts costs, and the balancing act is always how deep do you cut versus what do you keep doing. And I know that's easy to say, but it's a constant series of decisions about what are you going to do. And we've been even slowly adding back in a few places to do more products. We went through a strategic planning process in first quarter where the whole goal, and of course you know I've been at TriMas since January. My whole goal was to help decide what programs we're going to do in each business. We came out of that process with 150 programs that are focused at growth, and across 10 businesses, that's a reasonable number. And then another 50 projects focused on productivity, because we try to drive total cost productivity to turn around and, you know, get the reduction from that to turn around and spend it on new products and new programs. And that's really the way we try to run the businesses. You know, let me the other business group I did not mention, we call it industrial. That's where Monogram is. It's also where our Norris gas cylinder business is. It's also where our medical components businesses are. We make products that get left in your body in spine surgery. We make complex drills. You know, that complex comment applies to a lot of our businesses. We try to be in manufacturing businesses, where we're in manufacturing businesses, we try to be in ones where it's not easy to be in those businesses. And so we bring something to our customers. It's just not like everybody can make the components we make.
So in terms of what would you say makes the company unique from other players in your sector? I guess it would be the broad range of products.
There's no single competitor to TriMas. It's competitors to our individual businesses, to each of the 10 businesses. And yes, they have competitors. We say we really try to be number one or number two where we focus. We are quite focused. We don't try to be broad. We don't try to be all things to everybody. We clearly stay away from commodity products. We try to have specialty products where the technical content is what allows us to win. I would say that's what differentiates us. The other thing that we try to differentiate with is the way we run businesses. And we have this year installed, again, I'm new, we've installed quite structured processes in the way we do strategic planning, in the way we roll up targets, how our incentive systems tie to those. I'm a big believer that incentive systems should be tied exactly to the metrics, and everybody who's on incentive systems knows exactly how they're doing against a matrix of revenue and earnings, against working capital measurements, against new product measurements. And of course, I'm an engineer, and you can see that in the way I try to manage. Lots of companies do that. My background is in companies like that, Emerson and GE in particular.
Walk us through your background and experience, David, as well as the key management team at TriMas.
I'm a mechanical engineer from quite a few years ago. I went through the whole, like a lot of people, went through the whole GE management training program. I came through the manufacturing side of that, and I was working on a variety of plants. I was a plant manager. I started new plants in other parts of the world, lived in Asia. I was eventually a purchasing manager at GE and then a general manager of an industrial business. And then I spent a long time after that and I always tell the folks who work directly for me, my division presidents, that most of my career has been with a division president title, first at GE, then a long time at Emerson, eventually at Eaton, all good training ground kind of companies where, like us, you try to differentiate with technology, you try to differentiate with speed, you try to differentiate with being quite focused and thinking about how you apply your resources. So I'm trained by that kind of a background. I have Mark Zaffiro has been CFO at TriMas for right at a year now. He's about 10 years younger than me, but came out of GE, and we clicked immediately. I feel fortunate in that. I feel fortunate in the group of managers I'm surrounded with here. While I've done some delayering so that I have the president's report directly to me, I'm happy with the team we've got running each of the businesses, and most of our division presidents have done that kind of a job for quite a while. We've done some movements around between businesses, but and we've done some consolidations like you do. But we've got a pretty strong team of managers. My goal has to bring, say, my view of structured processes into how you run. And I always tell everybody the same thing. I always did better in my division president jobs when I knew exactly what was expected of me. I knew what I needed to check with the boss for, and more importantly, what I didn't need to, and could be more agile that way. That's what I try to accomplish.
Great. And what specific milestones and or goals has the management team set for the company over the course of the next year?
We're operating on the premise of being down 15 to 20% in revenue this year versus last year, just because of the recession. So we've put our plans in place for that. We've also introduced total cost productivity goals and metrics, total cost meaning everything, and then using lean tactics, using cycle time tactics to attack that. And really high on our list, because we've got a lot of debt, you know, like a lot of companies do nowadays, and we have been paying down our debt. Every person running a business or on the staffs of those business knows exactly what the metrics are for pulling our working capital down, and we turn right around and use that to pay debt down. At the end of first quarter, if you're listening to our calls, we were down over $80 million versus a year ago. In first quarter, we paid down over $40 million of our debt. And so we have specific goals in place. And that's the one outside kind of guidance I've been willing to give, is we'll carry a cushion against our debt covenants, because our investors used to be mighty concerned about that. And I think we're slowly convincing them that, yeah, you ought to be concerned, but we've got specific plans in place to keep a cushion against our debt covenants.
Sure. Any other challenges? And if so, what are some of your specific strategies for overcoming some of the obstacles? Or is it mainly
I'll tell you, the challenge in a recession, one big challenge in a recession, is to decide what to keep doing. You know, in a way, it's easy to just say cut, cut, cut. And everybody's had to do a lot of that to a painful level. But you can't just cut yourself to where you're no good in the future. And the balance has been, what do we decide to keep doing? And right now, I'm in the mode of, what do we decide to add back a little bit in order to be better coming out of this recession when it does come out? I would call that the biggest single challenge. I think the other challenge is really trying to read what's going on in the marketplace, because nobody wants to be caught out. And we tend to run very short cycle businesses with hardly any backlog, and everybody's watching for what's going to happen and how we're going to respond. And it'd just be unfortunate, even dumb of us to not be able to respond. So we don't just take inventory out without thinking about the consequences. We try to put new tools in place about how do we read the market, how do we respond, what's our cycle times, what's our lot sizes, all those kinds of things. Those are tools and tactics, and again, maybe that's the engineer in me. I'm a big fan of rethinking the way you do things in order to be better and faster at it.
Good answer. And so in terms of growth, David, will you continue to grow organically? Look for M&A activities, or will it be a combination?
A combination. Our strategic planning process, and I took that to the board, and they approved it, has internally generated organic growth from products and some geographic things, like the new facility in Rotterdam, kind of high single-digit sort of CAGRs in growth. That, of course, drives much higher levels of bottom line, especially with productivity. And we have a history of doing some acquisitions. We have a history of doing some divestitures once in a while. We will continue that. I am particularly, and at this time, call it a risk profile thing. We're looking at some bolt-on acquisitions where we understand it, we can get synergies right away, and add something we need. I'm not likely to do anything that would force us to get out of what we're good at. That may happen in the future, but not during this kind of an economy and until our balance sheet is in a condition that I feel a little better about our risk profile and what we can afford.
Certainly. And as far as investors, do you believe that investors understand the general direction of the company?
Partway. I mean, a lot of my job is to both try to help investors understand. I got to tell you, I also listen to our investors. I've had some pretty good inputs from some of our investors about what to focus on and not. And, you know, we're all in this together. I think we've still got, you know, the proof is in, and I realize the proof is in watch what we do quarterly. I think it's easy for me to say we're going to keep paying debt down, we're going to keep a cushion. A few more quarters where we can really describe how much debt we've paid down, where we can describe how much free cash flow we've generated, where we can describe how we've been able to hang on to margins even with the top line down, that's the proof. And so with time, I think our investors will understand that better. I think they're starting to understand. We've seen some movement in our stock price that we like, but the stock price was down a lot and before. So we've still got a climb to make here.
Certainly. And once again, joining us today is David Wathan, CEO of Trimis Corporation, as well as Sherry Lauterbach, head of IR. And Trimis Corporation is a manufacturer of engineered and applied products, which trades on the New York Stock Exchange. Ticker symbol is TRS and is currently trading for $3.90 a share. And before we conclude, David, what are some of the key reasons why the company represents a good long-term investment opportunity to potential investors?
We have 10 businesses, and I'll tell a quick example. There's some natural balancing that goes on. Oil prices have been climbing. Our businesses that use resin don't like that a bit, but our businesses that serve the oil field do like it. And so our set of businesses gets some of that kind of natural balance. But the real theme is technical solutions, not commodities, not automotive. It's difficult to compete with us. We are large enough that we get some synergies across our businesses, how we purchase, how we develop people, what processes we use to allocate resources. We're always going to have some businesses that we're willing to spend more on, and we're going to have businesses that are more in the mode of producing cash to go to other businesses. And you can reward people to run both kinds of businesses and set their metrics appropriately. And I guess the other reason I'd say is we have demonstrated recently our ability to have good, strong cash flow and to keep improving our balance sheet. We got a ways to go, but we're on that path.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's progress and growth. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today and for the interview.
Thanks, Juan.